Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's time to show some gratitude, which is what we've been discussing for the last few Wednesdays with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She is a licensed and marriage family it's always a mouthful for me, a licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place. If you've never listened to Gidi before, I encourage you to listen this closely, because if you have issues in your life and you'd like to maybe get some help, we'll give you a phone number and you can contact her. I always like to remind people, you also have a background in Christian studies.
Yes, I have a master's in Christian studies.
Uh-huh.
And Christianity, Jesus is my passion.
Right.
So,
And so for those of people who are people of faith and who listen to the show and are listening now, there are some people who are people of faith who think, well, you know, just the Holy Spirit and God will take care of all of my problems. But for those people who believe that, you would say that that you are a person of faith. People over at The Growing Place are people of faith, and so they should feel comforted knowing that we could address people's issues in a way in which,
yes,
God would want you to do.
We do have a faith-based practice. However, we also can offer secular counseling, mm-hmm, to anybody. We don't turn people away due to their religious beliefs or any of their beliefs.
Right. And I guess maybe when people come to you, there's so many ways. You know, sometimes there are so many ways you can tell a story in news. You know, you can approach it
the
from this angle or this angle.
Right.
One way, and I've thought about this now, is what we've been talking about, is through gratitude. If somebody comes with a problem, when my son comes to me with a problem, one of my sons, one of the first things I'll say is, why don't you be thankful for what you have before you begin complaining a lot, you know? And sometimes I'll just get right to the point. You have so much. You've got this, and this. But so this didn't go well for you, but, you know, there is no nirvana, okay? There's no nirvana. In this world, it doesn't exist. So why don't you be thankful for some of the things you've got? And then maybe this didn't go well for you here. You didn't make the team, or you didn't do very well in this lesson. That's okay. You did the best you could. So sometimes I wonder if when you talk to people, if that might be in what we would call the lead of a story. Do you ever go and think?
Oh, that would totally ruin the rapport with your client.
Really?
Right off the bat, to rebuke them, basically.
Okay.
No, you know, maybe somewhere down the line where trust is built, there are ways you could say that.
Right.
But it's not going to solve their problem.
Okay.
No.
But it's fair to say it's an ingredient. Of saying,
definitely, and positive psychology is about that,
right? And that's kind of what you're about. I get the sense.
Well, yeah, I use all kinds of different interventions depending on what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a very interesting quote this morning. Mm-hmm. This is from Steve Maraboli, who is a behavioral scientist and speaker, and he said, "I'm grateful for past betrayals, heartaches, and challenges. I thought they were breaking me, but they were sculpting me."
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that again. "I am grateful for past betrayals, heartaches, and challenges. I thought they were breaking me, but they were sculpting me." Mm-hmm. And when I read this, I think of Michelangelo with a big slab of marble. And in his mind's eye, he's seeing David. He's seeing the statue of David.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do? He picks up the chisel and the hammer and he starts pounding away at this huge rock. And in the end, there's this beautiful masterpiece. And sometimes I think, you know, we're the blocks of marble and God is the sculptor. And there has to be painful things in our lives in order for him to produce the end result.
But the end
that
result,
he is looking for.
Unfortunately, the end result doesn't look like the sculpture of David, unfortunately. That's the one thing.
That's because we're not in heaven yet.
Uh-huh.
I think there's going to be just glorious people walking around. You know, C.S. Lewis once wrote, and I'm paraphrasing him, if we could see people in their eternal state, we would either be looking at something so hideous that we would be repulsed, mm-hmm. or someone so beautiful that we would be tempted to fall down and worship.
Well, let me ask you, worship. So in other words, there's only one person that you'd be able to fall down and worship to, because all of us are hideous inside. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, what he's saying is in the eternal state, we're going to be either one extreme or the other when God is finished with us. Mm-hmm. He's going to transform us into something so beautiful that we would be tempted to worship like they did the Greek gods, so beautiful, or something so hideous, meaning those of us who have rejected and refused God's grace, that we just become something vile and ugly. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I do believe in our eternal state. We will become glorious creatures. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, mm-hmm. and it's throughout the New Testament.
It reminds me of the Woody Allen line. Some people would say, would I want to be a part of a club that would have me as one of its members? And some people would say that against heaven, because when they look at themselves and they say, oh, maybe just self-loathing, like, gosh, I don't deserve any of this. Why would I want to be a part of heaven if, you know, when I look at myself and
that's such a beautiful place to begin.
Yeah,
because you know what? That person is a lot closer to God than the one who thinks that he or she deserves heaven.
Right. I hope you're right about that. Because that's something that, you know, I think a lot of us, and we all maybe I'm the only one that's listening. We're going to take a break, that wonders, gosh, I mean, none of us deserve to be there, not even close.
No.
And I can all speak for myself. I mean, I'm miles and miles away from deserving to be there. And we'll continue just talking about gratitude and this quote. I'm grateful for past betrayals, heartaches, challenges, because it's what sculpted me into the person that I'm about to become. Our discussion with Dee Dee Hansen of The Growing Place after this time out.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
Oh, welcome back to the show. Dee Dee Hansen is a marriage, I'll get it right, licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Voice. Located over on East Avenue. You can go to tgplace.org to either set up an appointment with Dee Dee or some other counselors if you'd like. We're talking about gratitude, and the quote that we have is from Steve Maraboli, a behavioral scientist and speaker, who says, I'm grateful for past betrayals, heartaches, and challenges. I thought they were breaking me. They were sculpting me. And I think we could all figure that out.
Yeah, you know, I think of trees as they grow. If there wasn't wind and rain pushing against it, the tree would never really develop strength or a spine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's resistance training. Mm-hmm. So here we are in a fallen state, and God in his wisdom says, I can use this.
Yeah.
I can use this to make a masterpiece out of you.
Well, you look at the Grand Canyon and think of all of the erosion that took place over the years, and all of, there's probably a lot of suffering down there, a lot of environmental issues involving all of that. But look at this beautiful canyon, this beautiful scene that was left. It's just gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Well, shall we go on to the next quote?
Let's do that.
This is from St. Teresa of Calcutta, whom we have known and remembered as Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see St. Teresa adding the element of joy to the gratitude. Let me read that again. Gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy.
Okay, that always sounds good. And that kind of dovetails into what we've talked about before. But let's use a real life. Let's use the real life experience. And I, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, she is what she is. She's great. I come from a different background, and I like Mother Teresa. I admire her. Accept everything, even my problems, with joy. The key word is accept it. You don't want accept it means sometimes you have no choice but to accept it. It's handed to you.
If you can,
tragedy is
handed to you. I think what she means by accept it is stop fighting it. Even if you don't accept it, it won't take it away, but it'll set up an internal struggle.
Okay, with joy, but it doesn't necessarily mean equal amounts of joy, because isn't there a certain amount of realism involved? Let's just take, for example,
Jerry, I love it. I just love the way if I didn't have you here to make a conversation with, I would be talking to the wall. This is great. Keep going.
Think there's people might say this and think logically. God is logic. God is logic.
And
this is sometimes where people like a Bill Maher might say, there's got to be some logic involved. And maybe the atheist will say, let's use some logic. So Christians can be logical.
Was Albert Einstein logical?
Yeah, probably.
How else could he have come up with the theory of relativity? You know what he said? He said that in the end of time, when the scientist finally arrives at God, he will see that the mystic is already there.
Okay. But there's also God. I'm sure God believes in reality.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So he created it.
Well, let's just analyze this. Accept everything, even my problems, with joy. Okay, a child is born. I don't know if there's anything more joyous than that. Probably the greatest joy of my life, watching my sons. How can I accept that joy the same as I would if something happened to one of my children and he had a disease which might challenge and take away his life? How can I accept that with an equal amount of joy? God certainly isn't asking me to do that, is he?
Well, is he? What does the Bible say?
The answer is yes, but I'm having a difficult time. I mean, Mother Teresa, God rest her soul, gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. I would say that the person who's able to do that, if there is a special place in heaven and it's divided up, that person gets a special place. He gets a special room.
This is a very high degree of love and gratitude.
Okay.
This is like postdoctorate level Christianity.
Right.
And yet it's a worthy goal, whether we get there or not. I think it's a worthy goal. It's going to give us contentment and peace of mind. You know, how can you solve a grief or a problem if you're constantly fighting it?
Mm-hmm.
Accept doesn't mean you like it or you agree with it. It just means you stop fighting it.
Okay. And maybe it's one of those things where you accept it over a course of time.
Yes. And then she adds the element of gratitude and joy to the acceptance, because she knows something about God maybe you and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Which is that God is good and his mercy is everlasting.
I guess I agree with everything until the final two words. The final two words are what I struggle
with. Well, here's a scripture. Here's a scripture that may help you with that. This is, I believe, from Hebrews chapter 12. I think it's verse 2, where it says, "For the joy that was set before him, he," meaning Christ, "endured the cross and despised the shame."
Okay, did Jesus enjoy being hung on the cross?
For the joy that was set before him, which means he knew the meaning of his suffering, he knew he was born for this suffering, he accepted the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though he struggled with it. Mm-hmm. And he saw your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of the world. So his suffering, his quote-unquote problem, had meaning, it had value, it had a purpose, and therefore it produced joy. If we could find that meaning, value, and purpose in our suffering, then it too would produce joy. Not while we go through it.
We have one more segment here on the show. We'll wrap things up with Judy after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, here we are, final segment talking about gratitude. And the quote we're dissecting comes from now Mother Teresa, back then Saint Teresa when she said it. Gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. She said problems. That doesn't necessarily mean tragedies or... Was she talking just, hey, you know, I got a problem, man, I got a headache? I mean, was she talking about tragedies?
I think problem could be all-encompassing. Okay. We know she had a lot of physical issues, including heart issues,
right,
that were very painful and ultimately killed her. So before we went to the break, I was trying to explain that the joy that we feel may not be in the moment that we have the problem or the suffering, but the joy comes from knowing that God is good, there is meaning to my suffering, there is value to my suffering, there is a purpose for my suffering that perhaps is even beyond God sculpting me, that is to bring benefit to others. You know, Jesus said, greater love hath no man but that he should lay down his life for his friend. So there are acts of sacrifice. Who can say, except maybe a masochist, I enjoy acts of sacrifice, but people who can do it willingly, gladly, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer did in a previous show that I explained how he took the place of a young girl and went to the oven in her place just weeks before the war ended. Mm-hmm. People can do that with joy when they understand the value and the purpose of what they're going through. And that is something that is imparted from God. It's not anything you can talk yourself into. It's not anything you can talk someone else into. It really has to come from, in my opinion, from the Lord.
And I think, and I will tell you, when I pray the Lord's Prayer and I hear, lead me not into temptation, I think of that. Bring me not to the test. I mean, that might be different.
Yes. No, that's what it means. Don't put me to the test.
Don't make me that guy. Don't put me in that situation because I don't want to have to make that decision. I'm a coward, and I don't want to have to make that decision. I don't know if any of us really, I don't think even think Bonhoeffer wanted to make that decision.
No, but he was ready for it when it came because right. He was walking with God.
Right. And so I guess, you know, and then that's the part of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, whatever your will is.
Exactly.
And if your will is that I'm going to be tested,
well,
give me
we
the power
all
to
will
do it.
And have.
Yes.
I mean, it's the truth.
Right. But nothing to that degree. And I guess what you're trying to say is that no matter what problems we have in our life, to find joy in them.
We all have suffering of some sort or another, mm-hmm. to the degree that we have the capacity to bear it
right.
with grace. So in that, we can fight it, we can curse it, or we can accept it and say, God, I trust you. You have a meaning in this. You have a purpose in this. Help me to discover what that is. Help me to partner with you to get through this instead of fighting you all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we can say gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. And that's by Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to go on to the next quote real quickly? Or do
no, just... I think I want to save it all for, and we can give the listeners a preview of it. This is from Thessalonians 5:18. And here Paul writes, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And that is the crown of everything we've been talking about.
It always just comes down to, one of my theories in life is we like to think we control everything.
Yes.
And we really don't control hardly anything. Yeah, you know, sometimes we control what we eat in the morning, or you know, what route we take to work, or you know, we control. God gives us control over our lives to a degree, but ultimately, the big picture things, we don't have much control over this.
Not at all. When we live, when we die, you know.
Yeah, and it kind of mingles in with the idea that maybe that's why there's no sense in showing any anxiety, showing any worry. You know, one of my I've heard this one before a million times. This kind of weird baseball player. He's kind of a goofy guy. His name was Mickey Rivers. And he was just a loosey-goosey kind of guy. And he wrote a book. And everybody's just really funny, kind of off the wall. And somebody said, Mickey, why is it that you're so, nothing seems to worry you? He says, ain't no sense in worrying about things I ain't got control over. Because if I ain't got control over them, ain't no sense in worrying about them. And there ain't no sense in worrying about things I got control over. Because if I got control over them, ain't no sense in worrying about them.
Yeah.
And there's believe it or not, there was a lot of wisdom in that.
Yes.
And so that kind of goes into this as well. So when even bad things happen, it's almost like you've got no control over it anyway to some degree.
To some degree, that's right. As Viktor Frankl said, the only choice really we have is how we respond.
Mm-hmm.
That's the freedom that no one can take away from you.
Right.
Is how do you respond to life?
But at the same point, you still have to, we've talked in other shows, you have to make the right choices that lead you hopefully in the right direction. But even if you do everything perfectly and you live your life as best as you can, there's no guarantee of anything in this world.
No.
There's no guarantee of
anything.
And
I've never heard of anybody living perfectly except for Christ, and look what happened to him.
Right.
So, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think a wiser view is to keep eternity and heaven in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, because that is our ultimate destination. You know, not the bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah.
But he who pleases God wins.
Uh-huh.
And that should be our goal. And it's hard because we have the forces of the world, we have our own flesh, and we have the enemy tugging at us. So it's a hard focus to keep.
It's a challenge. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, thank you again.
Thank you.
If you ever want to get hold of anyone at The Growing Place, go to tgplace.org or give them a call. If you'd like to make an appointment for any matters that you might want to deal with, family-related, addiction issues, whatever it may be, their number is 588-0448. I want to thank you for joining us today. And hope you join us tomorrow. Same time, same place. So long.